There seems to be a theme lately. Sunday when he said that he was preaching on the love of God or God's love, Mom leaned over because she knew that that's what I was to share on. And I thought, I started first. I didn't even know he was coming. And at first the panic set in, oh, I only have 3 days. Do I have to change it? And the Lord said, no, this is what I want. And this was actually something that I had done for the teens, just like a 10-minute devotional in October of 09. And the Lord had reminded me of it, and he just wanted me to expand on it. And it's about God's love. And years ago, John Benedetti came and shared, and he was sharing the different attributes of God and how some other religions, their God claims some of the same thing. But our God, the true God, is the only one that says that he is love. 1 John 4:8 says, who does not love does not know God, for God is love. No other religion claims that. And so if God is love, how do you just, I am love, I love. You love what? Love needs a subject. Love needs to love something. So then there's different questions. What does God love? 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, so let each one give as he purposes in his own heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Okay. Psalm 45:7 says that God loves righteousness. Now, both of these are more conditions of the heart. You know, cheerfully giving or walking in righteousness. So then we would ask, who does God love? And we know, everyone knows the famous verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So it's God loved the world so much that the price was paid that whosoever, there was no group, there was no, well, if you make over $60,000, there was no, it was whosoever. Everyone was, yeah, I know, there'd be. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his own love towards us, and yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, we didn't have to clean our act first. He loved us before we came to the Lord. So he loves us just as much whether we do or not. That wasn't a prerequisite for his love. 1 John 3:16 says, by this we know love, because he, Jesus, laid down his life for us. So now those three verses give us a picture of who he loves. Everybody, all mankind. And God's love is not about or based on what I can do for him, because he loved me when I was still a sinner, when I wasn't even thinking about doing anything for him, let alone the ability or without ability. And his love is sacrificial. So then, When did he do this? When did he first love us? And there's different, I don't know if they're laws or study helps or rules about studying things in the Bible. And one of them is called the law of first mention. So we look at the first time love is mentioned in the Bible. And it's when Abraham is told to go sacrifice his son Isaac. And that was a picture not only of what was going to happen on Calvary, But what happened before the foundation of the earth? You know, we think that that was a plan then, but it was already done before of all creation. And if we look at Ephesians 1, verse 3 through 6, blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the earth, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. You know, he chose us before the foundation of the world. Revelation 13:8 talks about the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. You know, so that sacrifice was done before even creation. It wasn't plan B. He didn't create the earth and say, well, let's see how they do. You know, he knew going into it that the sacrifice was going to be made, and the sacrifice was decided and made before he even started. You know, what was that staff meeting like? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and the Father saying, you know, because of my nature and I am love, I need a subject to love. So I'm going to create a subject to love. And all as I want is them to love me back. But they're going to blow it. And sin's going to enter and bring a divide between us, and they're going to be unable to love me. And the Son says, well, because I love you, and I love you, so I love them, I'll sacrifice. And the sacrifice was made before it even started. So what did get God's sacrifice for his love? John 15:3 says, greater love has no than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And he had determined in his heart that he was going to do this out of love. And I have a little story that I heard on the radio, and it really put things in a different perspective. This guy was sharing, and he was saying that he fell asleep and had a dream, and in this dream God came to him and said, I want to show you all my creation. So he scoops them up, and they're shooting through the stars, and he's pointing out different stars and solar systems and the beauty of it all. And it reminded me of some of the shows we had, the videos, the Louis Giglio videos. You know, and I just pictured this as he's describing this. And he's coming to this one solar system, and there's a planet on here. And he goes, I want to show you my favorite, one of my favorite planets. And he says, okay. And he's just marveling at the beauty. And he goes, you know, on this planet are these dogs. And these nasty, vile, junkyard dogs. They're always fighting. They're always getting in trouble. But you know what? I really love those dogs. And I was wondering if you would go down and tell those dogs how much I love them. It's like, sure, Lord, I'd do anything for you. This is, you know, unbelievable. And he said, the only problem is to be able to communicate to them, I'm going to turn you into a dog. Okay, Lord, whatever. I trust you. And but you have to understand, these dogs are really mean, and they're going to tear you to bits. They're fighting dogs. They're just going to shred you. But all I want you to do is tell them how much I love them. He said, okay, God. He goes, am I going to be a big dog? Am I going to defend myself? He goes, no, I'm going to turn you into Chihuahua. So he turns into Chihuahua, and we know what happens. Those dogs destroy him. But how much more was it a step down for Jesus being God to become man than it would be for us to be a dog? And then he said, he goes, don't worry, they're going to just tear you up and kill you. He goes, but I'll bring you back to life. He said, okay, I appreciate that, Lord. He said, the only problem is you're going to be a Chihuahua forever. And that sacrifice that God made to become a man, not just while he was here, but forever. And I heard someone say that the only man-made thing in heaven are scars. You know, he still carries those scars today. Revelation 5:6 says, and I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it was slain. He still carries those scars. There was another story I heard of this little girl, and her mother's arms and hands were deformed. And growing up, she just assumed, she never thought anything of it. She started getting older, going to school. Some of the kids asked her, you know, what's wrong with your mom? And she's like, nothing. Why? Well, why are your hands like that? Why can't she? They're all discolored and they look funny. She can't stretch them out. And she didn't really have an answer because she just thought it was natural. So she started getting embarrassed because more people are, you know, kids can be. They're teasing her about her mom's hands. So she asked her. And she said, when you were first born, there was a fire in the house. And I went in and rescued you, but I got burned really bad. So then the daughter understood, instead of being embarrassed, those scars became badges of honor. So when we think of, you know, Jesus still wearing the scars from what he went through, they're like, this is visible love. You know, his love for us. Another question is, what does love do for us? Proverbs 10:12 says that love covers all sin. First Corinthians 13:4-8 is a long list. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So how does God want us to love? Matthew 22:37-39, Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God. Part of it. It's one of the scriptures that was shared Sunday. I don't want to misquote anything. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So we're first to love God and then to love everyone else. John 15:12. This is my commandment to you, that you would love one another as I have loved you. So we're to love sacrificially also. If God loves sacrificially and we're to love each other as God has loved us, that's the picture. Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, love your enemies, Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully and persecute you. So we're not just supposed to love the easy people. He loved us before when we were still sinners. So we have to love our enemies. And that's, you know, a little tougher some days than others. So how do we show our love to God? John 14:15 says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Romans 13:8 says, owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves one another has fulfilled the law. So, we, you know, sometimes we think, oh, commandments, there's all these rules, but it's not the rules, because he said the first commandment was to love God. That was the greatest, and the other was like it, to love our neighbors. And this verse says that if we love one another, we fulfilled the law. John 21:15-17. This is when Jesus restores Peter. This is another verse that was used Sunday. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. And he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. We have different callings, different ministries, but it has to be love first. If it's not, if it's not the base, then we're doing it in our own strength, and you know, we make mistakes and fail. But if I'm trying to do something for you and you know that my motivation is love, even when I do make a mistake, you're more willing to forgive me than when I come up to you and say, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong, and I'm being a jerk about it. And then when I make a mistake, you say, see, you blew it too, and then walk away. But if you know the heart motivation is love, it's easier to accept even correction. And this one we can all sing if we want. 1 John 4:7-8. love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. But he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So we're just about back to the beginning. So what are we not to love? Exodus 20:1-6, it's the beginning of the Ten Commandments. And God spoke all things, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carven image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven or above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to the thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. And love is first again. And you know, he listed these things here, and you know, that's it was originally speaking of idols, but we need to be cautious that we don't build other idols in our lives, whether it's our job or hunting or golf or, you know, anything that is taking priority or our focus away from first loving God is becoming an idol. And it doesn't say that we can't do those things or have those things in our life. We just need to keep the priorities straight. First John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust in it. But he who does the will of the God abides forever. You know, we've heard the saying, hate the sin, love the sinner. And we, you know, love our enemies, love the sinner, but not the sin. When, what did I ask? The guest speaker, Roger Joyner, shared, he was talking about the personal relationship and, you know, the basis of loving each other. And he was also, what he shared, what I remember hearing a lot is the evangelism out of that. And our shepherding group Sunday has been reading 1 John, and we've been talking about love. The guest speaker last Sunday, in his word about love, the Lord had put this on my heart. Al shared he's doing a series on it. And, he, you know, the Lord keeps bringing this up and up. And I was wondering, you know, are we not getting it? Are we just seeing different views? And I think what I felt was, the Lord was saying that, you know, we have to be fully immersed in his love. We have to really come to an understanding of his love, because how are we going to share his love if we don't have it ourselves? You know, we're not going to nag anyone into heaven. You know, the Holy Spirit's going to bring conviction, and they need to recognize their sin, but it's the love of God, the fact that God provided a way, that he loved me so much when I was still a sinner, that he provided a way and out for me. And this, the extent of the sacrifice that he went to share that love, to have intimate, personal, day-to-day relationship without that sin keeping us apart, you know, and that it's just preparing us and getting us ready so that we're overflowing, that we have a larger understanding, so we can share what we've learned, we can share our testimony and showing how God loves my day-to-day situations because he's done this for me, and make it real for others that don't understand. And it's just, you know, more and more, and as the time is getting closer and closer, we need to be more and more prepared. And when I had started this, the first verse I had, 1 John 4:8, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. I thought, well, what if we reverse that? Can I love if I don't have God's love? Right. Am I capable of it? I can get by, but if it's in my own strength and you're depending on what I can give you. When I stumble or I'm going through a hard time, I'm not able to give it out or show it correctly, so then I either offend you or you're on to someone else. So we really need to be able to accept and understand God's love for ourselves first. Yeah. We really need to be able to grab hold, and even in the hard times or when things are going wrong, to know that God loves me. He's provided a way for me. He's already gone through so much sacrifice for me out of his love. He didn't do it just so he can watch me wither and die now. There was a plan and purpose for it. You know, it wasn't for this point and then enough of you. Michael Cotton shared in his prophetic teaching about prophecy and God talking to us. And he said it would be like your wedding day. You say how much you love your bride, and then the rest of the marriage, you don't talk to her. Right? He loves us. He's going to talk to us. He's going to show us his love. So I guess if there's anyone, especially you younger guys, that don't believe or having a hard time grasping God's love for you or anyone, or that really need to come to a new understanding of how much God loves for you, his love is for you, and how you are the most loved. And it's not based on your age, what have you done for me lately? It's, he doesn't love you any more or any less. If anyone feels they need prayer for understanding or being able to accept that even if I'm struggling or, you know, I'm not doing A, B, and C, that he still loves you. And his love isn't any less. I guess I just... If you guys want to come down, we'd like to pray for you.